You may already know that SiriusXM brings you the deepest variety of commercial-free music for every genre and every mood, where you hear the biggest names in talk, entertainment, and comedy, and hundreds of hand-curated music channels designed to fit every mood.
Where you get news from every source, where you can listen to the newly launched Fish Radio, in addition to Jam On, Grateful Dead Radio, Pearl Jam Radio, Tom Petty Radio, and many more. Where you can listen to top comedy channels such as Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Radio and Netflix's A Joke Radio and Sports Talk Radio from Barstool to ESPN and more to keep you up to date on the latest news in the sports world.
Most people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. Subscribe now to listen outside the car on your phone, online, and at home, and get your first 3 months for just a dollar. And if you're a Fish fan, which you probably are, you can get tour updates and shows being played, which are a good complement to our quick hits. Visit SiriusXM.com/HFpod to see offer details and to subscribe and start listening today. SiriusXM, no car required.
Hey everybody, this is a quick hit for July 13th, 2019, night two at Alpine Valley. You've got Matt here, and with me on the line, lucky enough to have two guests today. We've got Ryan Kramer and Jason Ronk. Hey guys, how's it going?
Pretty good, man. Thank you for having us today.
Yeah, good, man. Blessed. Doing great.
Excellent, excellent. And you guys were at Alpine Valley last night, and so we're going to hear all about the show from you. Just wanted to mention one quick thing, like I mentioned yesterday. Look for the link in the show notes and on our Twitter account and everything to our listener survey. We're getting a lot of really great responses to the survey about all the Osiris podcasts. We really appreciate all the input that everybody's given us. And this helps us improve the shows, put on, you know, episodes and content that you want to hear about, as well as connect you with interesting sponsors and not just sort of random companies that have nothing to do with anything that a live music fan would be into. So with that, let's dive into start talking about Alpine Valley Night 2. It's one of those mornings where you wake up and you look at the internet and people are arguing about Fish. So either if, depending on who you listen to, they're either the greatest band of all time and they're achieving a new peak in their career, or they are absolutely awful. They have no idea what they're doing, and we should all just sell all of our remaining tickets for this year. Where do you guys fall on that? On terms of which side of that argument are you landing? Why don't we start with Ryan?
All right. So from my perspective, you know, I started seeing these guys in the mid '90s, and a lot of noodling back then, you know, and high energy and big peaks and all that kind of stuff. And it always felt like the jams were never super concise, right? And when I was in school, they taught us, you know, when you're going to make a statement, you make a concise statement and get it out there. And I feel like these jams may not be the length that people are looking for. When they do hit them, it's big time, right? But they can still put a lot into a small statement, I guess, is kind of my point. And I go to these shows to have fun and see something that just makes me stop and respect who they are as musicians. So I don't need them to play a 35-minute tweezer every show or anything like that. I love to see it, don't get me wrong, but I don't need that every time out. And like last night, there was a handful of things that I saw that I just absolutely loved. And there's just nothing like being there, you know, and you get around a lot of like-minded people, and yeah, there's some people that talk and that kind of stuff goes on, but it's not worth, you know, wrecking the band over or anything like that, because they're aging, right? And I just, I don't know. I don't get worked up over it like some people that you read. And I don't know if Jason has a take on that here. I'll hand him over there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm done. So I left mid first set. No, I'm just kidding. no, I'm the same boat as Ryan. You know, I'm there to, like we talked about before, like connections. Like it's sometimes after a while, you know, what am I at the show for? And it's like you just see all these connections with other people. Like I met this other guy, Ryan Murphy, at the gym I work out in. And then I meet his brother, and we're both on the recovery path and recovered alcoholics. And then I introduced Ryan Murphy to Ryan Kramer, and they had the same middle name, same favorite number. And it's like, he's the East Coast Kramer, and this is the Midwest Kramer. It's like a bromance budding in front of me. And it's like, that's what Fish does. It brings us together. And then we go to the show, and we're having a great time and screaming and rock. I'm like a little schoolgirl, you know, when her hit song comes on, when they play Sloth, and it's like, I'm good. I've been there. I've had the stuff that people wish they could have been at. And it's not about being there or not being there or better than or whatever. But, you know, we were on the way up there last night, and I said to them, I was like, you know, we could have 20 more years of this. We really could. And I'm looking forward to it, because my son yesterday was 4, you know, had like a 10-minute meltdown. I'm like, I want to go see Fish. I want to go see Fish. And then I showed him the Harry Hood video, and he just sat there for like 10 minutes, just replaying it over and over again. So who cares? Scoffers be scoffed, you know, let them, you know, whatever. Yeah, I don't care. Haters going to hate. Right. So let them do it. But I love it. Who cares? Absolutely in love with Fish where they are right now. And I don't even go back too much anymore and listen to the old stuff. I want to know what's going on right now. So, and it was a great show.
Awesome. Show. Well, you, Ryan, you kind of hit the nail on the head in terms of like, where the arguments are falling today, which is they're doing these sort of, micro jams, which our own Jonathan kind of coined that term, a tour mm-hmm. or two ago. But the question being, like, in shorter periods of time, are they going as deep as they would in a 25, 30 minute jam? They're just such Jedis that they're able to get there so much faster. And there's a lot of people that a lot of people are agreeing on that. And that, but then I think the counter argument that you're hearing is, yeah, but think about if they're getting that far in a couple minutes, how far they could get if they did take it out for 20, 25 minutes. I mean, how does that sit with you guys?
Oh, I agree 100%. The point is they can do what they want when they want, right? So, I mean, when you can get a birds of a feather like they did, you know, on this tour, that's a birds of a feather, right? It just goes to show they can do it whenever they want to do it. And it's not that they're holding back, but, you know, they want to get a lot of songs out. That's just what it seems like to me, right? And I don't want to call it like a jukebox or something like that, but at times it feels that way. Like you get straightforward songs, you know, and then you get a Blaze On last night where it's like, here's a little taste of where it could go, but we're going to pull back. Right. And it's what they want to do right now. So like he said, you know, we're lucky enough to be at some major jams, you know, and just from some of the shows that we've seen together. And for me, and it's just, I'm taking my daughter now, right? This is, last night was her second show, and she's 10, and she's begging me to go. And she didn't get to go to Vegas tour closer with me, and that kind of ate her up a little bit. But, you know, when she turns and looks at me and smiles when Runaway Jim starts, because she absolutely adores that song, you know, that makes it for me. And then they play it as well as they did last night, you know. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, because I'm sure we're going to talk about the set a little bit, but that's the stuff that, you know, makes me even almost more happy now. Right.
Yeah. 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 And I think a lot of people are experiencing that, like whether it's through kids. I mentioned, you know, I brought a couple of first and second timers to Camden, and being able to sort of re-experience some of this. And at the same time, understand that, as you said, you know, the band can and will do whatever they want at any point. And I don't think there's any sort of deficiency or anything. I think they're just doing exactly what they want on any given night.
Yeah, it's 100%.
Yeah, and to add to that, I don't think they're doing it on a level of selfishness where they're walking on stage saying, screw these guys, we're going to play what we want to play, and they can do what they want to do. I think it's to a point where, you know, being a musician myself, and Crane Ryan's a, you know, lyricist, and we've written songs together. And sometimes, like, I've had those moments playing music where in a improvisational part where you kind of get to that moment of where you feel the connectedness, like almost like the universe is like right manifesting it. You can get that too while singing the song, like listening to Trey sing Shade. Like I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, I get it. Watching him like really enjoy singing that song. And I enjoy watching them have fun. That's for me. Like they're up there having fun. I'm like, man, this is great. These guys are having a ball.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So let's get into it and talk about the show. Now, I believe you guys were not at night one. Is that right?
No.
Okay. No. So you're there last night. Are you going tonight?
No.
Okay. So this was
on home. So yeah, this was a one night only.
So
one night only deal.
You guys went on Saturday night. So set one. Friday night. I don't know if you guys agree, but it seemed like the first set was received a lot better on Friday night. Tell me about the first set last night. Any specific highlights that stick out for you?
All right. Well, this is going to be. This is almost perfect. I think it's really going to be the tale of two different tales of the same show. Because me and my friend Ryan Murphy, we lined up to get our wristbands for the pit, and we got in there early and we're right in front of Trey, like two or three rows back. And the first set to us was just the energy in the pit was crazy. It was rocking and people were going nuts and all this. It was just a lot of fun and just so high energy. And the second set too was, a little more improvisational, but, that'd be, so the first set to me was on fire, but to Ryan, it might've been a different story.
Yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, I thought it was just really pretty straightforward for the most part. Now I'm not saying like, it was really cool to see an ICU. My daughter was a NICU baby, she was 2 months early. So when that hit, and we've talked to her before, hey, NICU is where you were at for, 4 weeks of your life. And, I know there's a big argument over what that really is. Is it nipple popper? Is it, in an intensive care unit? Is it an ICU? Whatever. But to me, when I see an ICU, that's immediately what I think of. And then having her there, she jumped up in my arms and we watched, from most of that whole song. So I love that. And then, like he said, Shade, very well played. It absolutely 100%, the entire lawn was dead at that point. But then they brought it back with Funky Bitch and hit a couple peaks in there. It wasn't just totally standard, there was a couple extra page peaks or whatever, and then you get, I don't remember what was after that, but Fuck Your Face was in there somewhere, and that was real nice to see. Sloth. The Sloth was great. Yeah, I enjoyed that. So I mean, we talked about this on the way home last night, and like I was just kind of like, he said you better go and say, this first set was the better set. I'm like, that's not how I felt, so I'm not absolutely not gonna say that. I said this is, to me, it was mostly straightforward. And yeah, the Blaze On had a little bit in it. That was the first real jam of the night. And I talked to a guy actually in set break. I was kind of wandering around and I said, hey, what was your favorite song? And he said, well, Blaze On I thought was really good. He goes, make sure. And this guy was from Athens, Georgia. Never met him, but I just stopped him and said, what was your favorite song? So he told me that. And I don't know, that's just kind of who I am, man. Sometimes I'll just talk to people, right, and see what gauge their self. But we definitely had a differing opinion between Jason and I about last night. But first set. I mean,
it was. So I got up this morning early with the kids and my wife, and we're having coffee and stuff. And I say, hey, Kenny. So when Kramer gets up, and my wife does not like fish. Not on Twitter. I said, tell him. Twitter was lighting up last night with the best first set of the tour, best first set of the tour. she comes down and I said, hey, honey, what did your Twitter feed say last night about the show? She said, oh, best first set of the tour. And he's like, oh, poor shit.
That's funny. Yeah, it was, it seemed like much more typical kind of first set as opposed to Friday night where there was a little bit more meat, than you usually get, but, really strong Blaze On. I thought, that's actually the second longest jam of the whole show after the Harry Hood. But yeah, a couple of dips in energy there. I'm not the biggest fan of Shade. But on the other hand, like if you're going to slow it down, they played Frost and I really love Frost. I think that's a great song. But then you had, some of the high energy with Sloth and Fuck Your Face and My Friend, Final Hurrah.
My friend was, my daughter's been to two shows. She's seen two My Friend, My Friends and two Halley's Comets. So go figure.
Oh, that's awesome. And then Character Zero, which I've said in the past, people that have seen a lot of shows tend to not love that song just because they've heard it so many times. I never get sick of it. And I thought it was interesting seeing at the end of set one instead of the end of set two or the encore where you usually see it. And it felt kind of like the Santos in Charlotte. It was like a really, really energetic way to head into set break.
Trey was, those glasses were gonna fall off. It was pretty smoking.
Yeah. So then we get into set two, and I had, not that we were there, but just in terms of listening to the show, this would have been the perfect show to bring my daughter to. Haley's Comet is what she's named after, and then her favorite song is Santos, so they got that in the encore. So when I told her and my wife that they played Haley's and Santos this morning, they were both kind of freaking out about that. So I'll have to let her watch that part of the show. No jam on the Haley's, unfortunately. But then from that point forward, I think, you know, I was kind of sharing what, you know, I was live tweeting during the show last night, and I have this thought I keep coming back to, which is everybody always looks for sort of like the theme of the tour, right? 97 funk or 99 yeah. kind of ambience or something like that. It feels like this tour is becoming more and more about space and slower, yeah. more deliberate playing. And that's where some of the beautiful jams open up. But I feel like that's also contributing to flow of these second sets. Like on paper, you look at a bunch of not too long songs, mostly 10 minutes or under. But in actuality, when you listen to the set, it flows so well. And there's all these sort of delicate, beautiful moments that happen. And I've got to imagine that when you're inside the venue experiencing that, that it really, really pays off. I mean, what did you guys think of that, and how did you receive set two?
That's where I was at, man. Yeah. This is where the argument started last night, because I just said, you know, from a song I Hear the Ocean Sing, the rest of the way out was why I was there, you know? Just some great, great stuff all through there. The undermined drum fills. I mean, I'm a drummer, you know, at heart. That's how I got into music in the first place. So Fishman going off like that was awesome. I loved seeing that. And then that Get Back on the Train ending was just top notch, man. So I absolutely enjoyed second set, and I loved it way more than the first set, if you can't gauge that already.
So as a drummer, what do you think about all the positivity that's been around Fish's drumming this summer? I mean, it seems like, I don't know what happened, if he just is practicing like crazy or something like that, but he seems to be in rare form on this tour.
He's the man. I mean, he always has been. You're asking me, this is why this is my favorite band. I mean, I know, back in the early 90s, you could say it was, as Jason likes to say sometimes, it was Trey and three guys, you know, because he was firing off solos and all that kind of stuff. And
it was the original tab.
But Fishman has always been holding it down, you know, and it just seems like he's driving jams better, you know, now. But that's the reason I started listening to this band in the first place. First time I heard him, I said, this guy's legit. And that's all there is to it. And from that's where the love started, you know. It wasn't like a specific song that I heard that, when, you know, a lot of people say this, I got it, you know, I got it when I heard him, and I was like, if this guy can do this and do it every night, it's why I love this band, man.
That's
so
awesome.
I love it. He's getting a lot more love, you know.
Yeah.
And then from there, you know, you fall in love with the things that Paige does, or you know, and Paige is real crafty about throwing in some real good licks that sometimes go way unnoticed, you know. And then Mike's just, you know, he and Fish are just in lockstep. And that's the thing, for me, it was love Fishman, and then everything else kind of fell in place, you know.
Yeah.
So last night, Paige was sweating his ass off so bad he had to take his glasses off a couple times and put them up on the piano. And Paige was getting into it.
Yeah, you could see he had a towel next to him, and he was just like wiping himself off constantly. And I heard, my understanding is it was way hotter yesterday than it had been the previous night.
The thing is, like, when we got there, we kind of hung in the shade next to where the line was for Jason to get his wristbands.
Kind of VIP,
so it was warm, but we were always in the shade. And then when it finally came time for us to go in the show, because we weren't trying to get in early, we were just going on the lawn and trying to carve out a little spot for, you know, three of us, it was it didn't feel as hot to me, I guess, but there wasn't like a ton of airflow, I guess. So that's probably where it's come. But I did hear people all over the lot saying how hot it was, and my wife kept saying, this isn't that hot. And then again, I coach travel softball, and I stand on a field, you know, for four or five games in a given Saturday or Sunday, and it's like 95 degrees. So I'm just desensitized to it. I don't know.
I was hot because this asshole made me literally run the cooler back to our truck, and I had to run back, literally running. I was waiting in line, sweating. Yo, no, you said it. You hit the nail on the head. Perfect. There's probably not a lot more to add to it. I mean, if you're there, it was awesome. And it's one of those things. I try not to compare, you know, anything to what I've witnessed. Like Trey always says, like, you know, in the moment, in the now, right now, everything's perfect. And like, it was really awesome. And you hit the nail on the head with the space. And that's what I kept thinking, is like them creating that space. And the most amazing thing about Fishman is like listening, you know, the rhythm section of Mike Gordon and John Fishman is absolutely incredible to watch. Cause if anybody's ever tried to play bass or any, even like rhythm guitar with a drummer who's doing what he's doing, it's almost damn near impossible unless you're that good of a practice musician. Like what Fishman does is, and I sat there and watched him for probably half the night. And it's just like, he's got like eight arms and like six legs. What he does, it's just, it was pretty special to watch him get at it. Yeah. But he's on this other level of, you know, what do they say about Fishman? Like, he's always practicing. He's always asking them to send them stuff to work on. So these guys just aren't, you know, hacks getting up there trying to jam it out. They're really seasoned vets, as we all know. So,
but they're attacking all these jams with a purpose now.
Yeah.
That's exactly the difference. Yeah. Right.
So Jason, yeah, if you preferred the first set, what was the differentiating factor there that made that better for you?
The company I was in more than anything, probably. Ryan's a new friend. We made a great connection. We both do CrossFit together and met there. And like CrossFit's this community of people who are not Fish fans, and randomly met him there. And he said he was from Maine. I said, hey, one of my favorite bands is from up there, and kind of played there. And he said, well, he stopped and who's that? And I said, Fish. And he's like, instant. Like, and we went to Rosemont together. But being there with him and him calling, he called the bag opener. Then he called like Sloth. And it's just like, literally like jumping up and down, hugging him. And like, you know, just that. It wasn't the songs more than it was probably just the company of both of us being really excited. You know, to know that me and him are together on the same thing. We probably get to see Fish twice a year. Our families are at home and we're here having fun and in a safe environment. I'm going to get all these guys home safe and protected, and just the company probably more than anything. Yeah.
That's awesome.
He didn't have to watch it with me. That was the deal. I didn't have to watch it with him.
So it sounds like even though you guys had a difference of opinion on the yeah, sets, to get back to this question we started out at the top, it sounds like you guys had an overall positive experience, and there's you know, nothing to be arguing about at this point, right?
No, 100%, man. It was a great time. That's what I go for, is a great time. And maybe they do something that I go think about, you know, when I go home, and they did. And the second set was, for me, they gave me some stuff to think about, right? And remember, sear it into your memory banks. You know, I can think back to, you know, Bowie in 98 at Deer Creek. I love the ending of that. It's still in my head, right? So this undermined ending will be in my head for, I'm sure, a lot of years to come. And the get back on the train ending will be in my head for a long time. And the look on my daughter's face when they play some of these songs that she just loves, you know, and those are the things that I won't ever forget, you know?
Yeah. Same here. And I'm also too, if those people that said Fish shouldn't stop, they're horrible. All right, well then how about you stop? Don't buy your ticket. And don't sit, you know, don't take up 15 dance spaces in the pit for two people, and give me your ticket and let the people that want to be there be there. You know,
that's good. There
you go. Just don't show up.
There you go. There you go. I think that's a good way to encapsulate it. So, well, thank you guys both for coming on and sharing your experiences with us. We'll let you get back to your Sunday afternoon. If we're going to send everybody off with a jam clip from last night, what do you guys think we should highlight?
We'll let Kramer pick this one. Yeah.
Well, I'm the drummer, man, so you can give me that undermine and make sure it gets Fishman wailing on it.
Yeah.
If you want to go another direction, I'd say that get back on the train ending, but either one of those, man. Right. It's got to be the undermine.
How about, let's do the undermine, because I think you're right. Fishman was a beast on that last night. So, all right, everybody enjoy this clip of Undermine from last night, and Ryan and Jason, we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Now we're going to take just a minute to hear about another great podcast on the Osiris Network. You can listen to all of our shows at osirispod.com.
Across the Margin, the podcast is a show that brings you in-depth interviews with notable authors, artists, musicians, activists, filmmakers, and introspective eccentrics of all kinds, diving deeply into topics that demand deeper examination and illustrating the notion that there are captivating stories to be found everywhere. Across the Margin, the podcast is proudly in the loop.